But I want to read you first the ASCE, and the numbers that are put out here are just absolutely, they grade everything here. Let me give you an example. Our aviation was graded a D. It's facing a $42 million funding gap between 2016 and 2025 as well. So the airports and air traffic control systems are in serious, serious need of an update, is what this major report found from the ASCE. Our bridges are a C+, and there are about 56,000 structurally deficient, meaning they're screwed up people, bridges in the United States that are in problems. These bridges are aging. They are older than hell. Dams are a D. And many of these dams are in danger of imploding themselves from corruption because they haven't been fixed. Our drinking water is a D. Our energy is a D+. I mean, if we get there, hazardous waste, a D+. The inland waterways, a D. The levees, a D. Parks and recreation, a D+. The ports, a C+. And our rails are a B. It would be B, as close as we get to anything. Roads are a D and failing. Our schools are a D+, and we know some of those are worse than that. Solid waste is a C+. Transit is a D-. Wastewater is a D+. And stupidity and ignorance and arrogance is an A++++++.
The heart and soul of a nation beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
So what if we lost electrical power for, well, you know, you get a storm, you lose it for days. But what if the days were weeks? What if the weeks were months? And what if the months were years? Can you imagine today living with no electrical power? You know, you think back to our early ancestors and you wonder sometimes how they did it. But it is a mindset. It is a different time of life for most people. And so it's funny how we cope, though. We tend to, I think adapt would be the right word. But could we adapt now with everything we have today, with what we know, where we're at, and how dependent we are on electrical power? Because remember, without electrical power, you not only have no utilities, but you have no cell phones anymore. The cell towers are all out. Your phones are not chargeable. Your refrigerator is gone. You can't put any cold foods in there anymore. So everything changes dramatically. You hear a lot of talk about our infrastructure and the state of our infrastructure. Another way to look at it maybe is the plight of our infrastructure. I think our infrastructure is in a challenging state here. I think people are not paying attention to it because, as always, is everything. They don't pay attention to it until it's a problem. There was an interesting article that caught my attention from Newt Gingrich. And he says, what if we lost electrical power for years? Now, Newt is pretty well spoken about these kinds of topics. I like reading and listening to him. I want to read you the opening to his piece here. He says, imagine the power just went out. How would your life be immediately affected? Now, I think about that, people, and that scares me right there. Because at this point, we would not be talking to you. We would not be communicating to you. We would not be able to communicate at all. Newt goes on to say here, likely in the short term, you'd be minorly inconvenienced. You'd have to find a candle or a flashlight to read or do household tasks. You might have to change your dinner plans because you can't use the electric stove to cook. Or in my case, the phone to make a reservation, perhaps, huh? But now imagine that the power didn't come back on for weeks, months, or years even. And imagine this outage is everywhere. He goes on to say, now all of the food in your refrigerator and your grocery store will go bad. Your cell phone will become useless. Your car probably won't start. And if it does, gas station fuel pumps will not operate. If you require medication that needs to be refrigerated, it will be ruined. And replacements will be unavailable. If you require dialysis or some other regular procedure that requires electricity, you will likely die. The same goes for all your neighbors and loved ones. And that's the opening to his column that caught my attention. Now, the one thing about this kind of a state of the world that I just read to you, you see, this impacts rich and poor, young and old, black and white. There is no divide here with this. This is where you have the commonality of people that would potentially come together, you hope, in a time of need, right? But it's a scenario that I have thought about this scenario, which is why Newt's column got my attention. I think about this often, actually, because there are things that can happen that we have no control over that would change the way we live, the way we think, the way we survive. So Newt goes on to say this. He says, this scenario we might face if the United States is attacked or naturally suffers from an electromagnetic pulse. It's called an EMP. You've heard of that term, an EMP. And that could happen. An EMP is a super energetic radio wave that could be caused by an enemy attack. That could happen. Or a large solar flare from the sun. So this can actually happen in a very natural state, people. Like, we don't even need an attack for that to happen. It could just happen as a natural event. And it causes electrical grids to black out and shut down for an extended period of time. The net result is the life-sustaining critical infrastructure, which helps maintain what we have become known as our modern civilization, everywhere on planet Earth is threatened. Now, the first thing is you think about it in those terms and you wonder, well, they lived without an electric, you know, a couple of hundred years ago. Why couldn't we do it today? And mostly because our life has changed dramatically. Our lifestyle has changed. We don't really know how to adapt to that, probably. Now, some of us will adapt. Some of us, maybe MacGyver types, would learn to adapt somehow, possibly, but there would be a lot of challenges with this sort of a scenario. I started thinking more and more about the infrastructure, people. I started thinking about the things that we can fix because our electrical grid is in major need, even if there wasn't an EMP. Remember, all of our utilities now are controlled by the internet. They're all controlled by the World Wide Web. And really, there's a lot of cyber attacks going on. Every day that you get up and you turn the electric on or you think and breathe and understand everything that you know is life right now could be changed in a moment. And every day there are people out there, there are evil people in this fight of good and evil we talk about all the time that are looking to bring our electrical systems down. They're looking to hit our water supply. They're looking to bring any part of our infrastructure down. Now, what can you do about it? Well, you can get after your political leaders, your congressman, your senator, your local representatives to do something about it. Because, friends, at some point, something will probably happen. It's a mind bender, really. And I think the only thing we can do here is bring it up and talk about it. I want to do that today with you. I want to talk about the infrastructure. I want to start the week off with a bang here and discuss that. We're going to do it with a terrific panel. We're calling this a producer's panel here today. We have Ava Armstrong, Jim McKay, Arnetta Nakin on with us on The Voice of a Nation. I want you to stay right there. We're going to take a quick pause. We'll be back to talk about the infrastructure, the plight of where we're at in America, what we can do about it as we the people.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the people, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So I do think quite a bit about this. Actually, it's a topic I'm concerned with because I just have a feeling that at some point we're going to wake up and there's going to be no electricity. There'll be none. It won't be here. And then what really comes to my mind is, how are we going to communicate and get the message out? What will we do at America Out Loud? Because America Out Loud won't be out loud at that point. It will be quiet. It'll be a whole nother version of that, won't it, people? But that will change everything across this country, around the world. I mean, and it would put us up in a very precarious position. Let me bring on our producers panel today and talk to Jim McKay, Ava Armstrong, Arnetta Nockin about exactly this. Is this something that ever comes to your mind? And this is a serious question. Do you ever think in the terms that this could happen, or is it just me? Because I think about this. That's why I was attracted to Newt Gingrich's article here. Ava, do you ever think about this?
Constantly.
Honest to God, you do.
I'm a prepper. Yes, okay. I moved to a remote location, heavily forested, on a lake, and for that very reason. That's why I chose this location. There's water here. There's game. I have, you know, firearms, and I'm quite a long trek from any metropolitan areas.
All right, so you think about it as well. Jim, do you think about it?
Totally. Having been in the electronics industry for over 20 years, an EMP blast in the upper atmosphere won't just be a weeks-long event. It'll put us back into the Stone Age, basically.
God, yeah. You know, Jim, that is accurate. It's scary, isn't it?
Totally. I mean, there's scenarios done by the War College at the Pentagon that say that would be, in a matter of a month, probably 100 million deaths in the United States from fighting for food.
Yeah. Well, we've seen some of those crazy movies that are futuristic in a sense, or sick, where civilization is coming apart and people get, you think they're weird now at the supermarket, people. What the hell do you think they're going to do then? I mean, come on, you know, there'll be no supermarket. We'll be out on the streets there. Arnetta, tell me you're the only sane one here that doesn't think about this, please.
Well, slap my head and call me silly, but nope. I was looking at property this past week for a compound. It's a self-contained home that's for sale, totally self-contained, and with enough property to shore up, build a compound. Unfortunately, it's in California. I had planned to move from California, but things changed in the last month of my life. So, yes, I'm looking to do just that.
Wow.
I ended up in a hotel room several days this week, as an aside, because I didn't have electricity. We had a power outage.
That's right. And so, in other words, you had a brief glimpse of that, right?
Yes. But I was looking at this property, planning to do this anyway before then.
All right.
Just brought it home, how serious it is.
So, all right, so here we start off then, because I do think about this a fair amount, and now I find out that Ava, Jim, and Arnetta all think about it as well. So then the question I ask you out there, how many of you really think about this? I mean, seriously, serious question. Do you give the serious thought that this could happen one day and that, you know, we may not have an electrical grid of some sort? Jim, let's take a moment. We talked about the EMP. Of course, this is just, all right, let's say this. There are multiple things that could happen to us. It could be a natural event, as we said, a solar flare, the sun, really could be an enemy attack, but it also could be cyber attacks. There are a lot of people, whether via be Russia, China, and a lot of countries. I mean, there's a lot of enemies around the world that America has, and many of these enemies spend, I'm talking 28 hours a day. They're on overtime, people. So they spend all that time trying to find a way to bring America down to its knees. Now, people, there's no better way to do that than if you're going to bring an electrical grid down or a water supply or something that we rely on for our way of life. Jim, how serious, let's tell people, how serious would an EMP, first of all, could it happen for real, or is this a hyper talk, or, and what are the ramifications of this with an EMP?
Okay, an EMP differs from a cyber attack in that an EMP basically destroys the electronic elements in all of our computers, electrical grid, automotive, car, all your cars today.
So, Jim, we wouldn't get back on our feet right away because of that. When you say destroy, you're talking about destruction.
Yes, fries, you know, right. Fries the chips, I mean, is what happens.
So we'd have to start all over again, Jim? Is that basically it?
We, even our means of production, our factories that rely upon computers to operate equipment will be inoperative. The communications grid will be out. We have no way of remanufacturing the components. I mean, they don't, even spare parts that aren't in a leaden vault 50 stories underground will be fried.
Yeah.
So it would be equivalent to a huge asteroid that destroyed the dinosaurs without any physical damage.
Wow.
I mean, all the people would still be here. All your computers would still be there. Nothing would work.
Nothing would work, yeah. Ava, do you think political leaders think about this at all? A serious question, I know, but I chuckle when I see that. I mean, do we have a game plan? Does anybody know if we even have a game plan? I mean, what?
I do believe politicians think about this quite often because they're involved and read in on a lot of security issues that we're not open, you know, it's not openly discussed. I think it's terrifying when you really try to imagine that scenario happening. But the best thing to do to alleviate your fear or your anxiety about it is to actually prepare for it.
So when you say prepare for it, so you're saying, what I think about is if we really did prepare for it, those who know you would probably call you an alarmist, like you were thinking about something that you were worried about something that might never happen. And it may never happen, but you're saying be prepared, be like a Boy Scout, huh?
Oh, definitely. I'm married to an Eagle Scout, so I kind of live by this this kind of existence. I mean, thank God I have him as my buddy to live with because he's a lot better than I am at things. But he's also taught me a lot. And, you know, it's prepping 101, basically. And there's a book on Amazon that has that exact title. It's for $7. You can buy it and you can learn all about preparing for things. All these basic needs that we have, you really need to sit down and kind of walk through a series of lists. People that like lists, they will love this because that's really what it is. You're just going through a checklist and making sure you have all these items, you have them stored properly. For me, myself, I have a whole house generator. So if I do lose the power, I have a generator.
How long would that stay on for, though?
A week right now. I have, you know, enough to run it for a week, but I would have to find, you know, propane. And I live very close to a propane, actually like a depot. Mm-hmm. So I could get there if I had to on a bicycle. So, you know, it's not that far a ride.
But you only have a week regardless.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is what Newt puts out here because he says, okay, this could be like far more than a week or days, week, a month. It could be years,
right.
Which is what Jim says. An EMP attack is not a quick fix, right?
That's why we really need to store things. Okay. If you have a basement or you have a place, you know, even a storage shed would help. You need to store real basic necessities. And the other thing you need to do too is to connect with other people. And you can barter things with them, and you can make some friends and, you know, make sure that they're people that are trustworthy. Because like you just said a moment ago, when these kinds of things happen, it's kind of like when you have those huge hurricanes hit, you know, Florida or something. I mean, people are desperate, and desperate people will do desperate things. And there can be violence, there can be, you know, all kinds of things that happen. So you have to really, the first preparing thing you should do is buy firearms, learn how to use them, learn how to clean them, how to store them. They're not scary. They're protection for you and your family. Buy ammo. And when I say buy ammo, I mean have a dedicated space in your basement that's just ammo, okay? Because you're going to need that.
So you're talking about total preparation now for something like this that happens in the event it does happen. What are the chances? I mean, what are we talking here as far as, you know, when you see this again, this article from Newt, it starts to make you think, what are the chances that something like this really, does anybody really, Jim, is there any stats out there that say, are we, is there a percentage chance that something like this could really logistically happen?
Absolutely. Everybody was laughing about Trump creating the Space Force.
That's right.
The reason for a Space Force is during the last 30 years, there's been lots of talk of orbital nuclear weapons by the Russians and now by the Chinese. And I hate to say it, we probably have some sitting up there in space at this time, which is, you know, you can kind of hypothesize about it, but it's probably more of a reality than we'd like to even think, because they're doomsday weapons is what these are. I mean, it's a reality. It would not take more than two nuclear weapons exploded over the United States at an altitude of about 75,000 feet to destroy the entire electronic infrastructure of our country. And that includes all of our military aircraft, all of commercial aviation. Fortunately, the Pentagon has hardened communications that is buried underground. Fiber optic is not susceptible to this.
So that survives, you're saying?
So the communications between, say, the White House and NORAD in Colorado, in the mountains, would right. be in place. They wouldn't have anybody to communicate with. That's the problem.
I see. So there are some preparation or some sort of a plan in place then, I guess, Jim, huh?
Yeah. And people have talked about how do you destroy a nuclear weapon in space, preventing it from going off and causing this. That's a really far-out technology to be able to do something like that. You can't explode another weapon to stop a nuclear weapon. That's the problem.
Let me take that one step further, just for the hell of it. If Russia or China or one of these, or better than that even, if a terrorist organization was able to get onto one of these and do exactly what you just put out there, which I've read and seen multiple scenarios about the exploding of a nuclear device above the U.S., What do you think happens? Does it happen basically the fallout of that? Does it impact just this nation, or how far out does it go around the world, Jim?
A ground explosion of a nuclear weapon of that size would wipe out about a 25-mile radius. At 75,000 feet, it would take out a 1,000-mile or 1,500-mile radius of electronic equipment. So just a couple of them above the country, it's a done deal.
With just our country, or with the currents, does it go more widespread around the planet?
No, the pulse would not travel over the horizon. That's
okay.
The thing.
Okay.
So if the Chinese set off weapons above the United States,
right.
Their trains, planes, and ships would still be ready to invade us.
Exactly. So I guess if you were really talking about a multi-potential invasion, I'm sure these are things they have studied as well, foreign adversaries, yeah?
Yes, very, very much. There's plans out there, I guess, in the Chinese equivalent of the Pentagon, the Russians, everybody that has thought about this type of warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned cyber attacks. Cyber attacks is like somebody putting a virus in your computer.
Right.
You turn the computer off, you reload the software, you delete all the stuff, you load it back up from disk, and you're back up and running. Cyber attacks are temporary events. They might shut you down for hours or days. But an EMP blast is an endgame type of scenario.
Yeah, endgame type of, that's a good way to put it. And obviously, you're right, the cyber attacks would be probably a good problem to have if there's any problem to have in this kind of a scenario we're talking about here. Arnetta, what do you think in your heart of hearts when it comes to our, I'm very curious as a citizen here, and I'm wondering if all citizens think the way I'm thinking here, but I mean, we almost should demand some answers from political leaders that we've elected to office as to what the, in other words, what worries me, Arnetta, is that they're not sharing the game plan, if there is one. Shouldn't we all know kind of what the game plan is, or what we should be aware of, what we want to prepare for? I mean,
well, I agree with you that we should. Absolutely. But I don't know if we'll get any answers. Living in California, the last thing that Brown did, he signed an agreement with the Chinese under the guise of climate change challenging the Trump administration. He agreed to let the Chinese put a satellite up, launch it from California to look for hot spots for climate change around the world. Well, now I ask you that question. Right, exactly. Excuse me? So it doesn't need to be a nuclear blast. We've got a Chinese satellite over, you know, launched from California that has the ability to take out our power grid.
Arnetta, you got some of the dumbest politicians on the planet in California. You know
well,
that.
Well, you know, Malcolm, they're not dumb.
Oh, okay.
They're maniacal. They're strategic. Mm-hmm. They're not dumb.
So you're saying, hold on now, you're saying there's a game plan here. You're saying there's a game plan here, yeah?
Absolutely.
Well, tell me what it is, please. What do they want? They want to dismantle the country, or?
The Chinese don't need to invade us. We can be destroyed easily. You take out the power grid of how many millions here in California, where are those people going to go? They're going to overrun the other states out of California. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be violence. There are going to be hungry people. I mean, you think, who knows how to farm here in California? I live in, you know, Cement City. Who's farming? Nobody's farming.
The
food sources.
You have to bring it in, the food source, yeah.
And the water.
Yeah.
You know, no water. We live in an arid area out here. Mm-hmm. No water. There's another saying, I hate to say this, but it's going to be seriously, when you think about it, everything's going to need water. And we are at a tipping point. We are truly looking, staring into the abyss of this country's destruction. Remember, I keep saying this, their motto, win at all cost. How far will the globalist progressives go for a new world order and to control the world?
Wow.
And if they agree with China that they'll be the big leaders, the big dogs, you know, how far will they go?
That's the number one thing about the takeaway on this. You cannot give up firearms. Do not give them up.
That's right,
trust
Ava.
Me on this. Trust
and
me.
You're right. See, if you think about it, it goes further than that. Okay. Where are our seed supplies? Do families, I'm prepared for an earthquake, but that's assuming that they can get everything back up and nothing's totally destroyed. I mean, I live in earthquake country, so I'm prepared for that. But I'm not prepared to grow my own food. I do have some seeds and things that's put aside, but where am I going to get the water? I mean, it's really something that we, particularly living in urban areas, need to think about.
The first thing you need to think about is if something bad happens, you have to figure out, do you have a bug out place, like a remote area where you can escape to?
Right.
Or are you going to stay put? That's the very first decision you need to make. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to stay put, there are ways you can, you know, alleviate your pain by, like I said, stocking up on, you know, bottled water. Just store it, stock it, and rotate the stock out as you use it, you know. But have an enormous amount of it on hand. Right. There's all kinds of things that you can store. You can dried food and food that is in cans or various. In this prepping book, Prepping 101, you can actually buy MREs and freeze-dried foods. I mean, if you really want to be, you know, off the grid for a whole year, say, you know, you probably need to look at something like that. I'm prepared for more like a six-month outage, okay? If it went much longer than that, then I'd have to start hunting. the scenario that I have.
Now, Eva, developed. At that point, are you hunting animals or are you hunting liberals?
Well, yeah, I'd be going after somebody. No, actually, I have a lot of deer here. They're very good to eat. Lots of other small game animals. And I also live on a lake that's filled with landlocked salmon and trout. And, you know, so I could eat quite well and I would have water, you know, and things like that. But here's the dilemma. In that scenario, there are going to be people who live probably not too far from me that are desperate. You know, their family's starving or whatever, and they may try to attack me or steal what I have. Or I could meet up with somebody, you know, ride my bike a couple of miles and meet somebody, and maybe we can barter some things, you know. I highly recommend having a CB radio. Remember those?
Oh,
or,
yeah. Yeah.
Or a ham radio. And why am I saying this? And also have a radio in your house that operates on batteries and you can hear like the AM station or something. Those kinds of things are very important to have. They're very basic things, you know. A CB radio costs very little, you know, and you have it in your closet and you say, well, do I really need this? Yeah, I'd love to have it if I had no other means of communication with people. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the problem is a lot of us don't think in these terms. So we're not thinking that there's ever going to be a problem. And we take it for granted, basically, is what we do, because we think we're always going to have this style of life, which is why I wanted to take a moment to have this conversation. And I really appreciated Newt Gingrich's column and article about the EMP attack or some sort of an infrastructure problem. But I think our infrastructure problem goes further than this as well. When I just said to Arnetta a moment ago, why are we not in the plan? Because we're all a bit clueless at this point. Let's be real here. We're all a bit clueless. We don't know what the game plan is. We elect these clowns to office. They fight with each other like cats and dogs. In fact, that's one of the things I want to talk to you about today as well. There was, one of the things we thought that would come together from the far left and the far right was an infrastructure bill, that they were going to agree on infrastructure, remember, to fix some of the crumbling infrastructure in our country. Yet, friends, these people can't agree on what day of the week it is or what color the sun is, for that matter. So, you know, therefore, nothing gets done. And we're in the same problem we're at. And this becomes this movement for political power that I talk to you about all the time. When Arnetta says globalists, yeah, globalists is a piece of it, but it's actually more than that, even, I believe. There are people that are just corrupt, period. And a lot of these people out there, you all are elected to office on a regular basis because you're damn lazy, because you're not reading the fine print of who these people are. Because by far and large, people are just lazy. They just go through the motions of living and they leave the power to the power seekers. And we give it to them to run the baton. And what kind of a job are they really doing? That's a question we should ask ourselves right now. Again, let's demand the game plan. What's the game plan? What's going to happen next? What do we have to do for survival? You know, listening to this conversation right now, I have to tell you, one of the takeaways is Ava is quite prepared, obviously. She's got the book prepping. You know, so I got thinking of that. She actually obviously has read the book. She didn't just put it out there. I didn't even know that till just moments ago here. But maybe we all need to get the book prepping. And let's get that book right after we get the book Screwball, which is really the entitlement of what we have in Washington, D.C. People, it's time to wake up and get loud here.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free, And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company Healthy Cell will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
When you think about growing up in the last 50 years under the assured mutual destruction, the mad scenario of nuclear bombs exchanged between Russia and the United States, burning people to cinders, it's nothing compared to the worldwide Holocaust that future warfare would bring. Not the cyber warfare, but when we're talking about the EMP type blast. Global civilization would be flattened completely. It would be chaos on an apocalyptic, you know, nature. I mean, when you think of conventional warfare, of terrorism, flying an airplane with a nuclear bomb over the United States doesn't take a lot, doesn't take missiles. You can take a Boeing commercial airliner, put a nuclear weapon in and explode it over the United States as a terrorist act, and world chaos occurs. You can do that over Europe. You'd have the same effect. It is so much scarier than what we've grown up with in the past. It's mind-boggling.
Well, you're listening to the voice there of Jim McKay, and we're joined here with Ava Armstrong, Arnetta Notkin here. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. So we're talking about, again, this interesting article I mentioned from Newt Gingrich, which got me thinking about our infrastructure, which I think about actually often, and worry about the future plans and the plight of our nation and our people, where we're at. You know, Jim, you draw out the scenario there, which you open it back up with. And as you say, you know, why hasn't that kind of a thing happened already? Now, stop there a moment here. It would take nothing for a type of, terrorist organization or a rogue country or a, somebody that's evil to take one of those airlines that you just mentioned, and nobody would really know because we have international airlines coming in all the time. What would prevent one of those from coming in with that sort of an explosion in our upper atmosphere, Jim?
Right now, the problem is getting a large enough nuclear device and keeping them. Right now, fortunately, they're out of the hands of terrorists. But if you look like a terrorist nation like Iran, mm-hmm. I mean, nothing would stop them from doing that, and they would feel justified as part of their global jihad in happening. That is a scary, scary scenario.
Yeah, that's their game plan, actually, is to bring us all to their version of hell, where Allah sits with the virgins. Is that right?
Yes, yeah.
Let's take it a step further. Why would it need to be a nuclear warhead? What about a dirty bomb? Mm-hmm. Which is much easier to deal with. And, I mean, we're already dealing with that. Our water supply is mostly unprotected, so it'd be easy to, you know, poison that. But it's the diseases. It's the rice.
Well, the dirty bomb would only hit a certain area, I think, Arnetta, right? It wouldn't be as widespread, is that right? But it would do damage.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
It would do a lot of damage.
And I suspect that many of these attacks have already been
thought out. Yeah.
Or stopped because we don't know that for sure until much later.
Well, because they're not sharing anything with us, are they? How would we know, right?
Exactly right. Yeah.
You know, and there's something to that, I think, where we're not really getting the information flow back. This is kind of a creepy scenario conversation, Ava, but you know, you start to read Newt's column and you see what we're talking about here, but it goes beyond just, as Arnetta just said, a dirty bomb. We're talking an EMP explosion. I even think about our basic water supply, that if you got into a city or community of some sort and you polluted with, again, the proper chemicals in a water supply, you know, I was thinking of this more after 9/11. Ava, I didn't expect another attack to happen with airplanes in a building. That's been done. You know, there's enough things we have in place at airports and stuff to probably slow that one down. But there are other things the evil people can do, which is, again, taint our water supplies, taint our infrastructure, things of that nature. Nothing's going to stop them there. I still wonder why some of that hasn't happened at this point. What, are we doing a good job, or are we just being lucky, you think, Ava?
Oh, I think we're very naive in this country overall. Yeah. I think, you know, you watched a 7-hour marathon on climate change, which is supposedly an existential threat. We're talking today about what the real existential threat is, okay? Today we're giving you real facts, real scenarios that are very likely to happen. So why would you not be a prepper? I guess my question would be to anybody listening to this, why would you not be a prepper? Why would you just dismiss this?
Yeah, that's a moment to think about. You just mentioned that CNN Town Hall, as you know, we did a big program on the viewpoint about the climate change. And you're right, there's a lot of scare tactics. There's a lot of propaganda being put out there from these globalists. Now, these are globalists here, Arnetta, in this case. And these are people who are out to profit. Actually, they're well, in kind of a sick sort of way, they're using our capitalist system to get rich, because they're pulling in a lot of suckers, Arnetta. You know there are a lot of suckers out there from sea to shining sea, Arnetta?
Yes, I do know that. Yeah. And pardon the pun, but the climate change is their cash cow. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they have been promised all sorts of, all these wonderful Democratic candidates.
Well, they're getting rich.
They've been promised all kinds of riches. That's correct. And power.
I read a story here, guys, CBS put out, America's aging infrastructure, what would $2 trillion actually buy? These were because, as you remember, early in the year here, congressional leaders and our president, President Donald Trump, agreed to at least spend $2 trillion to fix our aging infrastructure. And Jim, that comes to about 0.8% of the U.S. GDP. Now, get a load of this. The American Society of Civil Engineers gives America's infrastructure, brace yourself, a D plus. A D for dumbasses is what I would call that, people. So D plus for dumbasses, calling our current levels of investment woefully inadequate. Well, these are brilliant sort of Einstein scholars here, aren't they now, huh? And but Jim, whatever happened to the whole infrastructure conversation coming out of the Beltway up there? What's going on with that?
Well, the big question was it a win for Trump, and would it help his campaign in 2020? And when they decided it was, the discussions ended. It's, you know, that's exactly where it is.
I mean, you never heard any more about it, Jim. I mean, that's what happened. Gee.
Exactly. I mean, they're not going to do anything to save a single life, better our infrastructure, stop bridges from falling or anything like that, as long as Trump is in office.
You know, Jim, I got to tell you something. I don't know if you guys think this way, but when you're on an interstate, I've seen a crumbling bridge on an interstate. They've collapsed from Connecticut to Wyoming. I mean, they've collapsed everywhere across the country. I've seen it happen. And do you ever get that way when you're driving on an interstate, when you're going under a bridge and you see big trucks driving around the top? Do you ever pause a moment or hold your breath as you're going underneath it?
Absolutely. I was in California during the 89 earthquake in San Francisco Bay. And I had to drive home that night. And there were like 7 or 8 overpasses that you had to go under on the freeway. Everybody in every car stopped before, waited till the traffic cleared ahead, and then buzzed quickly under it. It was amazing to see hundreds and hundreds of people doing that. I cringe every time and do it at void. If you have to go through the Holland Tunnel from New Jersey into
exactly.
New York.
Exactly, exactly.
Hold your breath and hope you can swim.
You know, Jim, this is important what we're talking about right now, because hear me out a minute, people here. I'm not a fairy tale kind of guy. I'm not a conspiracy guy, and I'm not an alarmist. You should know that about me already, if you know anything. And so having said all of that, what Jim just described with the Holland Tunnel or the bridge or whatever we're talking about. See, these are real scenarios I consider and think about and I worry about for anybody that would get harmed in such a situation. Here's how dumb CBS is, by the way. That article I just read to you, the opening here of America's aging infrastructure, what would $2 trillion actually buy? And again, I told you, we got a D plus, D for dumbasses. from the American Society of Civil Engineers. Well, guess what CBS does? They say, well, at least it's not an F. And what do you say?
You know what I say? I say, don't put your faith or your hope in politicians. Don't put your faith and your hope in your local representatives. They'll all be struggling to survive in the same manner that you are when this happens. And no, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. What I am is I'm a person who plays the odds, okay? What are the odds, you know, that an asteroid will strike the Earth? What are the odds that we're going to go to full-blown, you know, nuclear war? What are the odds of an EMP? What are the odds of a terrible weather tragedy?
And let me throw one other at you, Ava. What are the odds that a Democrat and a Republican would work together?
Yeah, exactly. They're not working. I have never seen Democrats like this in my life, and I've never seen rhinos like this in my life. These people actually dislike our president more than they love America. And I find that very sad.
Oh, definitely.
I really do.
Definitely. No, well, they're not really, you can't even use the word Democrats when you just say what you said. You have to use the word socialist Marxists, Ava, because that whole group has been taken over, including the rhinos, who are retarded, by the way.
And see,
well,
prepping.
Those are the progressives of which Republicans are part of.
What you guys have to think of, too, is like back in the day when we became a country, okay, there were homesteaders, okay? And you have to really think about how those people lived. And they lived, they survived, and they made a life, and they had babies, and they even had extra babies in case some passed away. I mean,
well, that's what they had. They had candlelight. They had better sex probably back then, Ava, I'm thinking.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm sure it was romantic, yes.
Well, when you get a candlelight versus a light bulb, it's a little more romantic, isn't it? I mean, come on, people.
Well, you're taking the romance right out of my life. We're talking major disaster.
Yes, exactly.
You know, there is
survival.
No romance left, right?
Okay. All right. I'm going to go out and find me an Eagle Scout.
A man's got to think like a man's got to think. Right, Jim?
Right.
Priorities, people.
I have to say, I'm not worried as much about the infrastructure. And I know it's horrible. I acknowledge that, or the nuclear strike, or the MPs. What I am worried about is this, at all cost, movement in this country to get rid of Trump, to get rid of the middle class, to get rid of particularly Trump supporters. We have targets on our back. But Victor Hanson Davis, I heard him speak recently, and he said that, and California is the first, but it's moving across the country. What is happening is with the billionaires in this country now, or the majority of them are the liberal progressives. Mm-hmm. And what they are creating is a medieval class country. That's what they want to create.
A medieval?
And that is the elites and then the serfs. No middle class. Okay. We are middle class, upper middle class, but we're not billionaires. What they're creating and would like to create is the elites and the serfs. And the elites, I would be willing to bet that their homes are stopped. Their homes... They live in gated communities. They have bodyguards. They have all of the assets. They're not held to the ideology that they spew out. They're not held to those standards. You know, they fly the jets. They have the yachts. They can get away. They can escape. They can fight off the hordes at the gate. And then there's the serfs who will be the hordes at the gate. It will be like the zombie land again. In this country. And I just question why. What is it that they want to rule over once they've gotten rid of? Where is that wealth and that control? What is it worth? But what does that mean? What is left if this country destroys itself from within? And the other, the cyber attacks, that's not my concern. My concern is reading about this $500 million superfund called Arabella that is like an ATM machine for all these nonprofit organizations like Antifa, and they are, it's a Hydra type machine to get rid of Trump, his supporters, and Republican candidates to never have another Republican president in this country. That's what scares me to death. That's what I lose sleep over, because my life, my child's life, and future generations will never be the same in this country.
Wow. Boy, there's a pause for you, huh, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. And she's so right. The Democrats are targeting only those communities that have mass populations. They've written off the rural, small precincts and counties across the country. They have this strategy that is so different from what they did in 2016 and even 2012, where they lost thousands of rural communities to Trump. Trump won on the small county town vote, the entire center of the country. But what they're doing is, where they lost in cities like Philadelphia and in Cleveland, which cost them the states and the electoral votes, they are saying, we're not going to deal with the other 70% of the precincts in that state. We're going in for the percentage that's going to get us the electoral vote. And it's a very different strategy. It's very smart in a sense. And they're out to win at all costs. And they have huge money from super PACs. I mean, they always talk about Citizens United as being a Republican piggy bank, but it pales in comparison to what the Democrats have stowed away from Wall Street, from foreign influence and all. This election is going to be tampered with internally. We don't need the Russians.
Well, these next several elections are going to be key for the direction of this country, for sure. And, you know, when I read you guys earlier and told you that a couple of $1 trillion that they were talking about and bouncing around up there in the Beltway for infrastructure, the American Society of Civil Engineers, the ASCE, estimates that we'll need $4.5 trillion at least by 2025 to fix our roads, bridges, dams, and other infrastructure, that it is in bad need. Jim and I were just talking about, like you said, if you ever drove through the Holland Tunnel or you're going over just a simple bridge on an interstate highway, or, you know, we started talking about electrical grids, things like this, and you're hearing a full realm of things. You know, Jim, a lot of people made fun of Donald J. Trump, who was, again, the businessman who ran for office, and he kind of, you know, he was eating their oatmeal, and they didn't like it because this was a non-politician that was running, which, you know, the current state of our country didn't like that. He was kind of in their territory. What will it take, and how can we get more citizens? I know a lot of people in Washington look at that as a problem because they're not highly charged, or what they call they're not swimming in the swamp to know what the problems are. But isn't that a good thing kind of thing? Isn't a little bit of ignorance maybe, potentially? Is there maybe a positive side to that, Jim, or am I looking at it wrong?
I think new blood in Congress is essential to keeping our democracy running the way our republic operating. I'm a big advocate for term limits for Congress. But I think one of the big problems, why you ask, why did 42 Republican members of Congress choose not to run in 2018 and 15 already for 2020. And I think one of the things they're faced with is an overwhelming negative influence from the media on their families, on their lives, to their existence. You look at the two members of Congress, one in California, and I think the other was from somewhere in New England, that their lives were ruined from innuendo and accusations about spending of campaign monies for travel and one thing or another, which every one of those things was just regular business as usual. But they were crucified by the media. And I think a lot of these people are being threatened in very subtle ways by back channel noise that they're getting. Mm-hmm. That if you run again, we have this information on you, and we will tear you and your family apart. The media is so complicit in the operation of the Democrat Party and the politics that they put on, and they have absolutely no morals about doing anything. And it's not just the fake news, it's the corrupt activity, this things that come out daily, whether it's CNN or MSNBC or even the NBC, CBS, ABC channels. I would run for office if they paid me $5 million to enter the campaign.
You would not run?
No, no. It's
Malcolm, maybe America Out Loud should spearhead a movement and unite the other conservative digital media and help Republican candidates, the no names, unknowns, because there is no way they can have exposure. Twitter is censoring them. They're shutting them down.
That's right.
Maybe there's a way because it's imperative. It's right. The only way they're going to get their message out. And the local elections, states like Texas, they're going after meaning the progressives and the Democrats, going after the states with the large electoral college votes. And we're not paying attention to
No, we're not paying attention. If you've learned anything from today's program, it's clearly that people are not paying attention very much so. What you're talking about there, Arnetta, is an initiative exactly for that purpose, to get the right people into office. And a lot of it has to go to that, whether we like it or not, people, because, again, it has to come back to a rule of law, and it comes back to the political leaders we do elect to office. There's a lot of different thinking around. There's a lot of different ideologies around, and I get that. And you know, one of the things, again, I always say is the diversity of opinion and the diversity of people is a beautiful thing. The problem is there's no respect for the diversity of anything anymore. There is the hooray for me and the hell with you attitude out there. And so you have a lack of respect before you even get to the table. And that's one of the problems. But going further back to that initiative Arnetta mentions right there, you know, I want to say this to you all as you listen here to the voices again of Arnetta Notkin, Ava Armstrong, Jim McKay, and again, three amazing patriots, but also three producers and part of the team here we have. We've been so blessed to have here at America Out Loud. One of the things we've talked about in recent times, my friends, is to start a series of think tanks. It has come to my attention we need to do some on homelessness. But you know, the topics we just talked about today are in dire need of some real thinkers of our day. That it really comes down to you out there, we the people. It always comes back to we the people. That's been my message from day one. It'll be my message to my last breath, people. It's we the people who control all of this. So it's time to get together. It's time to bring it together and to get the right people. And for the people who are ignorant and don't want to play, you know what? We need to ignore them and flush them away for what they are. And the rest of us need to come together and save this republic and save this this beautiful life and enterprise we've created. I think there's a call here, a call to action, a call that we're supposed to take the road forward, people. There are leaders and there are followers. Who are you? Are you a leader or a follower? More so, remember, it's time to get involved and get loud.